my goodness gracious. It is Wednesday, September the 12th, 2012. Time again for Afternoons with Amos, the talk show of record of our African-American community. I'm Amos Brown. Glad to have you here. This is going to be an interesting program because it deals with how a major institution in our community, in our region, in our state has to do its job now in this very challenging 21st century in the middle of the Great Recession. When we started Black Talk Radio on a daily basis here on this station 20 years ago, on a day like this, let me tell you some of the stuff that's gone on today. Obviously, we lost the United States ambassador to the nation of Libya, assassinated in what now seems to be a terrorist attack. Attack his car after his embassy or the consulate in Benghazi, Libya, was looted and attacked by a mob. The ambassador tried to escape, and evidently his car was bombed by a rocket. He's dead. Three other of our Foreign Service officers also died in that attack. The President of the United States, within the last hour and a half, expressed his condolences as well, as well as visit the State Department. Also, the blood evidence that was thrown out in the local court in the Bazard case, appeals court, says it's back in. Uh-oh, there's some good news today. And in an appeals court decision written by Senior Judge Randall Shepard, yes, the former Chief Justice, he still is on the payroll as a senior judge kind of helping out. Also, State Representative Charlie Brown from Gary has filed an ethics complaint against Governor Daniels, saying the governor should not have used state offices and state material dealing with some issues in Purdue about redecorating his office and some of the comments he made. Now, if we were doing this show 20 years ago, you would first might have heard about this in bulletins on the radio, the three stories I just told you about. And then you would have seen Howard Caldwell and them at 6 o'clock on the news and then maybe later at 10 and 11 o'clock on the news. And then the next morning, you'd go out and you'd pick up your copy of the Indianapolis Star, and the lead headline would be U.S. Ambassador slain in Libya. And then the second headline would be Bazard evidence reintroduced. And the third headline would probably be, Black state representative beats up on governor, all those kind of things. You would have found the details of that in the daily newspaper the next morning. Well, back in 1992, the computers we had here at the radio station were those big, clunky IBM things. That was still around Commodore 64 and all that kind of stuff. That is not the case today. You've heard the word digital. All of us had to change our televisions because of digital. Many of you listening, I say 8 out of 10 of you listening, have some kind of computer in your home. If you have a portable telephone, not just an iPhone or an Android or a Windows phone or a Go phone, if you bought one of them $20 phones at Walmart on the pay-as-you-go, you get internet on those doggone things. That's digital. If you tried to go to Borders Bookstore, you can't because Borders Bookstore doesn't exist. Why? Because bookstores and printed books are under severe pressure because books have moved to iPads and Kindles and all this other stuff. When you go to church, some of the churches now, Chris, pastors are preaching off their iPads instead of the notes. They're preaching off the iPad and they're looking up the Bible on the computer, on the smartphone. That's how much it's changed. And this kind of change of digital in television, in radio, in books has also impacted the daily newspaper, not only in small towns, but in some of the largest cities. You've heard about New Orleans. You've heard about Detroit. You've heard about other communities along that line, and it's affecting all newspapers. The Indianapolis Star is part of the nation's largest newspaper company, and that's Gannett, the people that brought you USA Today some 30 years ago. They're celebrating their anniversary this week, and they're changing their website and their model and how USA Today does news, and that is the same challenge for the Indianapolis Star, what they call now Star Media, because the Indianapolis Star isn't just the printed newspaper that you see 7 days a week. It's also a plethora of websites. Plethora means more than like two or three of websites that provide a variety of service. So on the program today, it's your daily and Sunday newspaper and how, as starting the first part of this month, they have changed how news is being delivered to you and your opportunity to find out exactly what Star, the Star and Star Media is doing and to find out and to raise questions and ask questions about what's going on in the House. 5 months ago, Doug Wilson became the vice president and chief marketing officer for Star Media. He has more than 20 years of marketing experience, including as senior director of the neurosciences unit at Eli Lilly, which means he understands the mind. At least that's what the little paper says. He's here, chief marketing officer of the newspaper and Star Media. Now, but he's only been there 5 months, so, you know, just not going to beat him up on what happened to the paper in 1973 because he just got there. Also just getting there 3 months ago, Jeff Taylor is the editor and vice president of the Indianapolis Star and Star Media. He is a decorated journalist. In 1992, he and his co-reporter won the Pulitzer Prize. That's the Emmy. That's the Oscars in the world of journalism for exposing mess in the agriculture department while he was a reporter at the Kansas City Star. Then he moved to the Detroit Free Press in Detroit, naturally, and as managing editor, he oversaw the team that won the Pulitzer Prize in 2009, covering the mess that involved the former mayor of Detroit, Kwame Kirkpatrick, which proves if you gonna sin, don't write it down on the emails that belong to the taxpayers of the city. If you gonna sin, don't do dumb stuff like that. Anyway, with that, the editor of the Star, Jeff Taylor, and the marketing director of the Star, Doug Wilson, join me live. Guys, welcome.
Thank you much, Amos.
You were just laughing there.
I was laughing. That was a pretty good one. Yeah, I like that.
With the email,
don't sin with the text messages.
Yeah, don't sin with the text messages. Let me first start. What exactly started at the Star just as the month began? Some people call it a paywall. You call it digital services, but it impacts every Star reader. Doug, what are you guys doing?
Yes, Amos. Basically, this is our vision for the next century. We've been around for over 100 years with basically the same business model, and that is delivering our print product to your home for the last 100 years, which worked really well until, as you mentioned, the early 90s when this digital thing came up.
Right.
So as many of the other media organizations and the way people digest their news and information has changed, we realized we needed to change as well. So in essence, there's four basic changes that you'll see within the Indianapolis Star. First and foremost, over the last year, we conducted a lot of consumer research to understand what our audience wants,
right,
to make sure that we're providing the value and the content that they expect of us each and every day. So we literally did research with thousands of consumers, which led to a lot of improved content, which I know Jeff will
right,
speak to in a minute. So that's the first step.
Mm-hmm.
The second is, we're changing the way we set up our subscription model. So instead of subscribing to a printed home delivery of our newspaper, we're actually asking people now to subscribe to our content, regardless of how they access that or consume that. Third, as you mentioned, we established what is, in essence, a meter, and it's important to note what it's not and that it's not a hard paywall.
Okay.
A hard paywall would be if you go to IndyStar.com, it would say, before you can read any articles or consume any of the news and information on there, you would need to subscribe and then
right,
pay for us.
So it's not like that.
It's not like that. We actually welcome non-subscribers, visitors to our website. You can still consume up to 20 articles each month,
mm-hmm,
before you would then need to subscribe.
Okay.
And then the fourth piece of this, and it was most difficult for us, is there's also a price increase for new subscriptions included in this. As we improve the value of our content, we want to make sure that it was priced appropriately for that value that we offer. But we still think it's an incredible value, starting as low as 40 cents a day for the content. But really, it needed to be for the value of the content as well as the cost to deliver it from home delivery and all the great journalism they do.
So basically, everyone that may be listening now that gets home delivery of the Indianapolis Star, they will have a price increase when their subscription would normally come up for renewal? Is that how that's going to work?
Correct. It officially starts September 1, mm-hmm. and everyone should have been notified, current okay. subscribers, over the last month or so.
Right.
And when whatever they're currently paid up to, that will honor that. But okay. when the new rates begin, and not all current subscribers will receive a price increase. So mm-hmm. those that are just the two-day, Sunday, Thursday subscribers, there's not for current subscribers, there's not a price increase.
Because you all have, you can get the paper delivered every day, all 7 days, or you can get the paper just delivered on Sunday, or you can get the paper just delivered on Thursday and Sunday because you want to get the grocery store ads on the Thursday before the people find out on Sunday and then the grocery store ads are there again. Is that basically what has been the home delivery model?
In essence, there's really four main okay. subscription options. As you mentioned, the 7-day home printed delivery plus 24/7 digital access now across all your devices. So
right.
it'd be desktop, mobile, smartphones, tablets, as well as the e-edition of our newspaper. Mm-hmm. That digital component is included in all subscriptions.
Right.
So you get the 24/7 digital access. Then your choice of how you prefer to get the home delivery, the print edition delivered to you, can either have it 7-day. There's a 4-day option, which is Thursday through Sunday. There's a Sunday-Thursday option.
Uh-huh.
And then finally, there's a new option, which is digital only.
Thursday, is that now your second biggest day when people buy newspapers?
Yes, correct.
Is there any particular reason for Thursday, or that's when the grocery stores want to tell everybody, everyone wants to tell everybody when the sales are?
I'm not sure which is the chick or the egg there, but yes, in essence, that's a big day that our retailers say, big shopping days leading into it. And a lot of our retailers really want to reach our key audiences.
So it's similar to radio and television, where particularly in television, Thursday's a big day because movies open on Friday. So everybody, all the movie companies want to run. If you ever wondered why all the movie ads are on Thursday night on television, that's why, because the movies open on Friday. So Thursday tends to be a big day in television. Radio tends to be Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So it's the same kind of thing. What's the smallest day? Is it still Saturday or Monday in terms of paper sold?
Saturday and Monday would be the smaller reach days for us. But
Mondays can't be in cult season.
Well, no, it did. The Colts clearly are a pretty big impact in terms of the audience for us, both in digital and in print. It's interesting that we think about when I got into this business almost 30 years ago. You think back to the notion that we would have to be thinking about all these different platforms at once, what the impact is, how we deliver that information to customers. It really, when you talk about print, Monday is a smaller day than Sunday is. Sunday's our largest circulation day. But in terms of digital, it's one of our it becomes a different audience. It's actually a fairly significant day for us for our overall audience.
So now, how does this, from the news gathering side, this digital affect you? For example, I'm looking at the homepage of the Indianapolis Star, and it's got my name up here because I had to sign in and take the tax deduction on my taxes later, next year. So it says hi.
Well, we appreciate it, Amos.
And so it says hi, Amos, which is if you're subscribed, it'll greet you it knows me. And there's a big picture of David Broussard, coming out of a courtroom, and obviously that looks like that's the big story right now at 12:30. Then Charlie Brown beating up on the governor at 12:09, and there's something about grilled cheese. And now, to me, that's not the big thing, but I guess if you like grilled cheese, that's what. How will this change in the course of a day? Because obviously, by tomorrow morning, the Broussard thing may be old hat.
Well, you've got it exactly right. It changes through the entire day, and it has caused us to think a lot more about how we position stories and coverage for the different audiences that we're trying to reach through the day. A breaking story about the officer in the drunken driving case is something that is obvious. You're going to just update the story as the news develops through the day. You're mm-hmm. you're chasing developments and right. try to broaden it out. But then we have to think about, in addition to what you see on the homepage, our reporters are tweeting information about that. We send out, breaking news alerts for mobile users. So there are all these pieces to the coverage now that, were clearly not even in anybody's imagination, 25 years ago. But we now have a situation where, okay, tomorrow morning, a lot of this information is fairly – it can become fairly stale by tomorrow morning for that print audience. But the print audience also expects to see substantive coverage on page one, right, that really focuses on the big events of the day, that focuses on important community developments and you know, good storytelling about the community. So those stories will be we'll have the Bassard case out there. Obviously the horrible situation with the ambassador who and three others who were killed. Those stories will certainly be out on page one tomorrow, but written from a standpoint that becomes a little more analytical, mm-hmm, that, as we say in the newsroom, that pitches the story forward as much as possible. What is the – and it requires us to think about, you know, how we – you know, do we develop everything through the day and put it all out there immediately, or do we have some pieces of this that we try to hold on to so that story has fresh angles and fresh information for readers in the morning, both in print and our new – the digital audience, which by that point is looking for – new and updated information.
There's part of the website and what in Star Media are other things you have that are of interest. You know, listeners may not realize Career Builder, where if you're going to look for a job, that's you guys, right?
Correct.
What
cars.
Other? There's some way I can get a car. You got cars.com. What else y'all got?
Career Builder, Home Finder,
okay.
Cars.com.
You can find a house.
Find the car. You can find a job. You can find a house, car, deals. We have Deal Chicken as well.
Okay,
correct. And then we have within the content that we generate with our writers, we have information that is specific to digital.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things in the conversations we've had with our. With our longtime subscribers, and they call up with questions about, okay, so how is this affecting my print delivery? What does this mean, you know, when I get full access? And we explain to them that right. You now have the ability to log on and go find out information that we are able to provide in the digital format that we can't do in print that expands on what you're seeing there, and you can share that login with a family member if that's not your thing to go on to IndyStar.com. You know, maybe it's something that your kids might want to do, or that a younger family member might be interested in. So I think the idea is that the people are beginning to get a sense from the conversations with us about understanding how we have an awful lot of content that we're producing in a lot of different platforms.
How important is it for the Facebook and Twitter in terms of what you want your reporters to do? I mean, you've got Mary Beth Schneider, mm-hmm, who I can sit in my office and find out what's going on in the legislature. I can get a feel of a committee hearing, or I can get a feel of what it's like at the Republican or Democratic National Conventions. I think if they gave out Pulitzers for how many tweets can you tweet out, you know, she would get that. I know you've got I think she has set a template for that. How important is it? You got the reporter to go out and get on the phone and try to find out information and email sources and whatever, and then you expect him to do 8,000 tweets a day? Now, how do you expect a reporter to balance all that?
Well, they certainly have a job that is more complicated now than it was when I was a reporter, and it wasn't all that long ago that I was still carrying around the notebook and the recorder and writing stories. Technology has changed a lot of things for them. But it also has increased the exposure of their content and their own individual brands in a way that I never had in my days as a reporter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Twitter, Facebook, they're really important pieces of what we do because of the, as you know, I mean, so many people now get updates and information through following Twitter. It's interesting that you look back at what Twitter was not so long ago, and people were sort of wondering, well, you know, exactly what's this going to evolve into?
Right.
But it's really become a very powerful news source for us and for consumers out there. Facebook is important to us, and if you think about the demographics of Facebook, there's a high number, a large a percentage of women who get information and share information on Facebook. It's a way that they communicate and get information in addition to, you know, looking on the website, or if they take the print product to home, or listen to radio, or whatever. It's a very important piece of what we do. But you're right; it's a more complicated world for our journalists than it was.
How do you balance out? You know, I've got listeners on this program who fuss when guests come on, and the guest is getting ready to leave, and when we say, okay, how, you know, if people want more information, how do they get a hold of you? And they instinctively, every guest, even the smallest nonprofit, goes to the website. And I've got listeners say, wait a minute, I don't have, you know, internet access. Whatever happened to the old fashioned telephone? And And when I look at the research, this is what happens when you get a research geek in here. 80% of the African-American community, according to Scarborough, owns a computer. 78% accesses the Internet. 75% access the Internet in the past month. But then when you reverse those figures, it means 20% don't have a computer. 22% don't access the Internet. How do you deal with those readers and subscribers to the Star that, you know, don't have Internet either by choice or by economic necessity? And they're saying, wait a minute, you know, you guys want me to pay a little bit more for my printed paper, but I can't use all these extra wonderful things you created.
I think there are two parts to that question. First is, can people get the customer service through the normal operator and telephone? The answer is absolutely yes.
Okay.
And in fact, most of our customer service is still done through our traditional customer call center.
All right.
And for those of the audience listening, the number is 888-357-7827. So if you ever have any questions, customer service issues, your paper doesn't delivered, please call us.
And the number is what?
Is 888-357-7827.
One of the things that you guys were saying in the literature about these new digital services is, hey, if you can't use the digital service, you can give it to somebody, and which is basically give them your email address that you're using or your password. Is that kind of what you meant?
Absolutely. Each subscription comes with two digital access, two email addresses. So you can use it for yourself. You can use your second one for another member in the household. You can gift it to a loved one. And if you don't have access to digital or have no interest, you can give both those emails away to friends or family members, and they can enjoy the digital.
Because I was talking to somebody a couple weeks ago. And they had confronted the sign in and register page when they went to the homepage of IndyStar.com, and they were trying to figure out how it worked, and they thought it was just, wait a minute, one email address. I'm not giving my husband my email address to you. So for couples, there's two.
Correct.
Two on the same thing.
Yes.
Okay. Well, yeah, the sign-in sheet may need to say that, because the sign-in sheet was kind of vague. Let me ask, because there's probably people listening where their church has gotten a newspaper subscription in the name of the church or in the name of a business. Here at Radio 1, the subscription is in the name of first name, Null, second name, Radio 1. That's for last. Don't ask us how y'all did that. But in our company, we don't have a general delivery email address. So what do companies do in that case?
Great question. We do have an institutional method where people can sign up. So if people currently get their newspaper delivered at organization. So depending on the number of papers that delivered, if you call this number, we can kind of work.
The 1-888-357-7827.
Correct.
1-888-357-7827. 239-1310 is our number. 239-1310 is our number. You got a question, because it's been a while since the Indianapolis Star has even been here. And we got the editor here. He's in charge of, I counted them all last night, 152 journalists and paraprofessionals in their newsroom information center, and they renamed everything. They got new job titles. They got new departments, all kind of stuff. We'll talk to them about that. You got a question, concern, a suggestion? He's got his notebook here. I'm trying to help him make some news here. 239-1310, or you got some home delivery problems. The paper is not put in the little thing that you've had out there next to your mailbox for years. The carrier is throwing it everywhere, including Cleveland, and not where it's supposed to. Doug can kind of help that with as well. You got it's your newspaper. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. His lines are open. Or you can send me an email at praiseindy.com. That's our website. Not as pretty as IndyStar.com, but we're getting there. Or send me a text message at 85620, keyword Amos. It's afternoons with Amos. The Star is here after these. On the program tomorrow, the Attorney General of Indiana, Greg Zeller, is part of we're up to now 29 hours of candidate interviews between now and Election Day. That may be more than the Star does. Now he hears that. Now he's got to go to 30 or something, which is a good thing. Also tomorrow, and let me get into this in a hot second. Also tomorrow, we will talk to Ronnie Harrod. He is the father of the two young men who were killed in June out at 38th and Georgetown Road. And there has been no progress in finding the killer. of those two young men. And this raises the question, Jeff Taylor, with the staff you have, which is, you know, down from where it was several years ago, but all media organizations, the number of their staff is down. How do you do follow-up? Because his dad was on this program last week about something totally different and told me as he was leaving that there really has been no progress in finding the killers, that the detectives are doing all that they can, and he's kind of concerned that maybe, you know, it needs a burst of publicity. And it's always disheartening, you know, a family touched by a crime and then there's no leads and the community's not giving up any information.
Well, I think you're correct. It is a we've had to deal with newsroom reductions all across the country, mm-hmm. And that does have an impact on how we approach our business. But it doesn't have an impact on pursuing the biggest stories that we think we need to be able to do. It becomes a matter of setting some priorities and saying these are the things that we think we can. Really target as coverage areas that have impact on people that continue to, you know, at our philosophy at this newspaper is that we focus very hard on investigative journalism because we know that's has a big impact and a high interest with readers, providing real utility to people so that they can, you know, things that help them with their lives, help them, whether that comes in the form of entertainment and how you look for things to do, places to go, the dining scene, entertainment, right. Whatever, but also the utility that helps people make informed decisions. We were talking about today about our own candidate interviews and what we're right. doing as the campaigns unfold in the final run-up to Election Day, making sure that we're getting real issues-focused journalism in front of people so that you can line up the Medicare plans under both candidates for president so people can look at it side by side. And
will those interviews be taped and put on the websites?
You know, we do tape interviews now, not necessarily all of them. We do a lot of candidate endorsement interviews. But, yes, we do make those available, our endorsement interviews with the gubernatorial candidates. And, at the higher levels, yes, mm-hmm. we do that now.
239-1310. Let's start today with Dennis. Hi there.
Hello, Amos. Two things. One, and most importantly, I admire you for what you're doing, and you keep our community's feet to the fire, and don't ever give up on that. We need you.
Thank you.
Secondly, I have an observation. I think you're the chief marketing officer of the Star is there, is that correct?
That's correct.
Observation. I got a mailer. It was a really nice mailer at home about 6 weeks ago notifying me of the changes and so on and so forth. It was very well done, very well presented. But my observation is it was incredibly Bush League because it talked about the changes and why, and I don't have any problems with the changes and why. The Bush League part was on the back in very, very small print, especially compared to the size print of the rest of the mailer, was if you want to stop your paper, stop your subscription, you have to do something proactively. It wasn't the Star doing anything proactively. It was me doing something proactively in very, very small print. I thought that was Bush League. I'll take, if they want to comment, I'll take their comments off the air.
All right. Appreciate it, Dennis. Doug Wilson.
Thanks for the feedback. We appreciate that. And apologize that it was not as visible as it could have been. One of the things it depends on if you're on an easy pay, which is an automatic billing payment, or you get a printed bill each month. If you're on automatic easy pay, we would require for a customer to contact us so we know when to stop that. Mm-hmm. And once again, the same number that I provided before is the avenue that you can call, and a customer service representative can very easily assist anyone to help stop their subscription.
Let me go back to the phones in Gino. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing, Amos, this afternoon?
I'm fine, sir.
I just wanted to compliment you also being a stalwart in the community.
Thank you.
And just keep doing the good work. I was very, very upset with the increase of about $4.50. I've been a long-time subscriber of the news, of the Star. And I just thought, maybe with the new subscribers, the increase would apply. But I was very upset, and I'm thinking about canceling my subscription because of the increase in price. And I'll just hang up and listen to your comments.
All right, appreciate that. I'm sure, Doug Wilson, that's not the first time you've heard that.
No, it's not. So, once again, taking the price increase was a very difficult decision for us, one of the most difficult ones we've made. When we look at the cost to continue to produce the high-quality product, really reinvest back in the newsroom and the key reporting staff that we need to service the community, as well as the increased cost of it takes to deliver a paper with energy, rising energy costs, et cetera, and continue and our commitment to continue to deliver the printed edition 7 days a week. We were looking at the numbers in the business model. We required us to take the first price increase we've had in about 4 years.
Was there consideration? I know, Jeff Taylor, you're coming from Detroit, where the decision in Detroit was they printed papers Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
They went to a business model where they sell paper 7 days a week on you can buy them at stores and
like Walgreens, Meijer, all of
them. And then home delivery for most of the audience would be on a Thursday, Friday, Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was also an option that became available later to be able to get 7 day home delivery for a premium price that honestly was up in the $30 to $35 a month range. Quite a bit higher than we are here.
So was there any consideration to doing something similar to what was done in Detroit, or the commitment was let's try to see how we can do this with the traditional 7 days that Hoosiers were used to, or the Thursday, Sunday that Hoosiers were, or the Sunday only that Hoosiers were used to?
Yeah. One thing we were very committed to is continuing to deliver the print product 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And quite honestly, when you look at the Monday through Wednesday paper, a lot of our audience is going online,
right,
and therefore a lot of our advertisers are shifting their dollars away from the printed product into our online digital product. So you can see the size of the paper, the amount of advertising you see in those lighter days. We're trying to deliver the same amount of content, but the advertiser space. So it becomes very difficult from a business perspective to continue to deliver that product 3 days a week without taking some sort of price increase for those that really value and a 7 day delivery of the printed edition. Unfortunately, we had to pass some of those expenses along.
239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoons with Amos. I can predict, Chris, that this show is the number one show being heard on computers. And maybe on radios down in the Indy Star Media building on Pennsylvania Street. 239-1310. Back to the phones in. Michelle, hi there.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air. What's up?
Yeah, I ordered the Star a little while ago, and I had a hard time when I tried to tell them that I didn't want the paper no more. They kept still throwing paper in front of my yard, and they just almost really threatened me to keep the paper. If anything, they need to take that paper down to 50 cents because, I've been telling everybody the Star paper is just sorry. I mean, they threaten you to try to keep the subscription, and then you see these people in the stores. I tell everybody I know, run from them because they'll try to threaten you to keep the paper. What kind of paper is this to try to threaten people to keep the paper? That's crazy.
Well, hold on. Let me ask you, because I got two of the top executives here. When you say threatened, did anybody call you out of your name?
No, they didn't call me out my name, but they just kept on giving me the paper where I wanted the paper or not.
So you kept
it, and they still kept on giving me the paper and still trying to charge me for
Did they? When did all this occur?
About a month ago.
No, so are you still getting the paper? Did they finally stop?
No, they finally stopped after I kept calling them and said, "Look, stop throwing paper in front of my yard. I don't want no paper." They wasn't throwing it on my porch anyway. They was throwing it, at the beginning of my yard. I'm like, y'all ain't even delivering the paper right anyway, so I don't want the paper.
All right. I'm going to do two things. One, I want Doug Wilson, the chief marketing officer, to respond. And then what I'm going to do is I want you to hold on and I want you to give Chris off the air your name and a phone number where you can be reached during the day. And somebody high up in that department is going to, call and really find out because they really want to know, if somebody was not treating you with respect, I think they would want to know it. Let me let Doug Wilson respond. Thank you for calling, Michelle.
Okay.
Thank you, Michelle, for your feedback. And, yeah, I want to echo Amos's comments. We absolutely want to create the best customer experiences possible. And when we don't, we need to know about it so we can address it with our staff. So,
go ahead. If she was having problems and she calls somebody, would that be somebody at the Star's call center, or would that be like the independent person who actually delivers the paper?
When she called, she'd probably be talking to one of our customer service.
Did you call Michelle when you call these people? Did you call the toll free number?
No, I was talking to one of the customer service reps, and they were just rude.
And you remember the number that you called with the customer service rep?
I don't remember the number.
Okay. Because obviously, are those calls recorded in your customer service center?
Often they are, yes.
Okay. All right, because they would do that. So hold on and Michelle, and give Chris your name and a number where you can be reached during the day, and they'll follow up with you. That'll allow me to talk to Carolyn at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. You know, I called you about this probably about a month or so ago, and you gave me a number and a name to call, and I talked to them people. The lady, and then another lady called me. But do you know they are still putting papers out here?
You were the one that I told you to call Karen, right?
Right.
I told you to call the head lady, and it's still messed up?
And it's still coming.
No,
and one of the reasons to the gentleman, you talk about computer. There are a lot of us seniors out here that don't even do computer. We don't have computers. And one of the reasons why we want to, you know, we don't want anymore because we're looking forward for our TV section. We shouldn't have to pay another quarter on the week to get a TV section that's always been in the paper. But, yes, I am still getting the papers. The last one I got was Sunday. I get them on Thursdays and holidays and Sundays. And you know when I called you.
And you talked to Karen?
And they even called me to try to talk me into continuing the paper. No, I don't want to continue because the first person, the man that I talked to before I called you, Amos, was very rude and very nasty.
All right, I tell you what, I'm going to let Doug respond, but I want you to hold on, and I want you to give Chris your name and a number where you can be reached during the day. And Chris, indicate on that one that she talked to the publisher. Because the publisher is not going to be happy to find out that, you know, she talked to you and you didn't get any satisfaction, Doug. Doug Wilson.
Great. Thanks, Carolyn, and apologize again. And I will certainly follow up directly with this. We do have a contracted delivery service, and when we find certain complaints or they're not doing and living up to the standards that we require. The more we know about it, the more we can address that specifically. So thank you for alerting us, and we will be all over it.
All right, Carolyn, hold on. All right, you just hold on, and that'll allow me to talk to Miles at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing, Brother Brown?
I'm fine, sir. What's up?
Hey, look, when Gabbett Douglas won the gold medal back here, wasn't nothing put in the Indianapolis Star, a big picture of nothing. And then I waited 3 days. And I rose on the third day, just like Jesus, and called him and told him to cancel the screw, my paper. I mean, that was pathetic. Here's a young lady that went off and won the gold medal for the United States of America. Mm-hmm. Give me a break. I don't want your paper.
Let me follow up with that, Jeff Taylor. I noticed that as well, and there was also a Hoosier connection because her grandparents on one of her parents' side live in Gary, Indiana, mm-hmm. and the Chicago newspapers, the Sun-Times and the Tribune, they all had on their websites, and I'm assuming also in the printed paper, pictures of a big celebration they had as they were watching the rerun of Gabby Douglas win the Olympics on the rerun. Is that a case of that's just a miss? Opportunity?
Well, I don't remember the specifics that you're raising, mm-hmm. but I can tell you that I know for a fact that we did have the Gabby Douglas coverage prominently in the paper during the Olympics because it was such a big story for the mm-hmm. Nationally. And I can't recall exactly how it was positioned, but you know, if there was some sort of celebration that we didn't cover, that would have been an oversight by us, but certainly not something intentional. I can tell you that. We recognize the huge significance of her winning performance, and you know, I remember, in fact, one of the photos on the website, the incredible image of her where she looked like she was about 4 feet off the beam when she was flipping over, doing a flip or something. It was
Is this another instance where perhaps the images that maybe Miles wanted to see were online? And then when all of a sudden there's all that maneuvering of what's actually going to go in the printed paper, then it's in the sports section somewhere, and somebody psychologically is looking at, you know, the front page where the name is, expecting to see that picture there, not realizing it was big on perhaps the website and it's in the sports page, and but people's expectation is, hey, if I don't see it on that front page, they mean it's not important.
That might be the case, Amos, and I wish I could remember exactly how we handled that, because it's, you know, there's so many papers that have come out since then. It doesn't stick with me, but I think that we certainly would have wanted to give that the appropriate play in the paper.
Let me go to Karen at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos.
Hi.
I just wanted to make a comment as well. Back in the wintertime, I was getting the Star, and they would throw my paper out by my mailbox on the curb. So I would have to come out in the cold to get my paper, and that's one reason why I stopped taking the paper, because they don't deliver it anymore. They throw it to the curb.
Mm-hmm.
And like the other lady said, when I was trying to cancel it, they kept sending it. So you can keep sending it, but I'm not paying for it. But it was really hard to cancel it as well, too.
All right, good point, Karen. I appreciate it. 239-1310, 239-1310 is the news. Let me go. Got an email at praiseindy.com, and this is a question that may end up in journalism schools. Yesterday, it was revealed, Jeff Taylor, that your predecessor flew to Spokane. You had an all-expense-paid trip to Spokane to speak on Dr. Frank Straub's behalf. And that's fueled, some of the blogs you might have seen it is fueled, raised some eyebrows that perhaps criticism of Frank Straub editorially in news stories before you got there was barred during this tenure. Obviously, there's ethics when you're on the payroll. Once you're off the payroll, it isn't. But are you all troubled by the actions of your predecessor in going to Spokane on Spokane's dime and vouching for a resident of Indianapolis? I've never heard of a journalist or ex-journalist doing that.
I did learn about this last night, Amos. My predecessor is at this point, he's a private citizen, so to speak, and that he's no longer, you know, he doesn't work at the newspaper, and so he certainly is not bound by the same ethical constraints that we would have had, he would have had in working at the paper. I'm not familiar enough with the coverage of Straub before I arrived here, which actually was just a little bit more than 2 months ago, to comment one way or another. I have no reason to believe that our coverage would have ever been compromised. Dennis is a person of integrity. I don't imagine that would be the case, but I can't speak to the coverage because I wasn't here at the time.
239-1310, 239-1310 is afternoon's name. We'll take a break. Come back with more. The editor of Indy Star, Star Media, Jeff Taylor, is here. He's a Pulitzer Prize winner. He's got a Pulitzer. Where do you keep Pulitzers? Is it in the house? Where's the Pulitzer at?
You know, it's somewhere in the house. I'm not sure.
In a box somewhere that you probably haven't unpacked. And Doug Wilson, Chief Marketing Officer, this afternoon's with Amos after these. Now, y'all know, since the editor of the paper is here, you got things that you think the Indianapolis Star ought to be covering? 239-1310, 239-1310, or send me an email at praiseindy.com or a text message at 85620. Keyword name is, I want to fill up his whole notebook. Here, let me go back to the phones and Bill. Hi, Bill.
Yeah, hi, Amos, and to your guests, too. Amos, you know, the Star was $18 a month, and it went to $23 as far as the cost increase. That's a 30% or better increase. I don't think, to your guess, I don't think your supplies or your labor has increased that great over, more than the cost of inflation increase. But as far as the people that that wanted the paper stopped, a lot of that has to do with the way it's being billed, like cable and satellite and cell phones. They want to debit your checking account or your credit card, and I think it's done on it's it's purposely done that they don't stop it when you request it to be stopped so they can keep on debiting your account. But in my particular case, are you there?
Yeah, we're here. Go ahead.
Okay. My particular case in general, when I first moved to where I live now, my paper was delivered to my porch, kind of in a suburban area,
mm-hmm.
and they went to, well, young people didn't want to deliver the paper anymore, so adults took over and they went to putting it in your mailbox, and then that was legally not possible, so they put a box out there. Star provided a box, and they put it in there, but at least two or three times a month, someone walks down the street and takes my paper. And as a matter of fact, the last time they took it, the manager came out and brought me a paper, and I caught him, and we talked for a long time. I thought it might be carrier fill in or replacement, and he said, no, it's same carrier for quite a long time. So I'm calling today to see what can be done to solve that problem. They used to throw it in my drive in a plastic bag also, which I didn't have any problems. But now, whose box is that? You all provided the box out there. Is it your responsibility or my responsibility? Because really, I'm tired of my paper being stolen, and I've tried to watch out for them some mornings, but that's what my problem is.
And you got the box that says Indianapolis Star on it?
Yeah.
Okay. You may even have that old style that's got Indianapolis Star and Indianapolis News on it, the collector's item. On the boxes, that is the homeowner's responsibility, or is that the, in terms to maintain that, that's the homeowner's responsibility?
That's actually a great question, and one that I don't know. I don't have an answer to right now, but I'll try to follow up. Only been here 4 months, so I apologize. That's one answer I don't have for you, other than to say that, you know, we are constantly valuing our carriers, and if they're not delivering the service that you need, please let us know, and we will follow up and make sure that it gets corrected. So encourage all your listeners to please call the number and get a hold of us. And as soon as we find out of an issue, there will be someone on it immediately to make sure you get your paper on time in the right place. Every single day.
Hold on.
Okay.
It's like I said before, I don't think it's carrier problems. It's human nature to take it. Here's a free paper. Now.
To take it, I see.
Yeah. Now, could that carrier start throwing the paper? First of all, I'd like to say this. I wish the Star would put advertise that criminals that take these papers will be prosecuted and make a stern effort to that case to do that. And then the second thing is, could they go back to putting it in the plastic and throwing it in my drive rather than putting it in the paper? How much inconvenience would that be? It's not carrier. I don't think it's carrier error.
That's a very good point. I tell you what, I could see something on the paper. Do not steal this paper because you're trying to get the coupons. Bill, hold on, now, and I want Chris to get your name and number off the air.
Amos, I'm going to call the guy. I told the manager over the carriers that I was going to personally contact upper management. That's what I'm going to do on my own.
Well, no. Upper management's here.
Well, that's what, instead of them, I'm in and out. I don't want to play phone tag. I'll contact them.
You'll contact them?
Bill. My name is Bill.
Well, hold on. Bill, I would appreciate, though, leave with Chris your last name and name anyway so they can track back, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. I appreciate that. That'll allow me to talk to Elizabeth at 239-1310. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi. I want to tell you about my experience with Star.
Uh-huh.
When they called me and asked me, did I want to take the paper,
mm-hmm.
I said, if they will leave it on my porch, I will take it.
Okay.
For a couple of years, my paper was always on my porch.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden, my paper was out there in the yard. So I started to stand up until 4 o'clock in the morning to catch the carrier. They want to sit in their car and pitch my paper out in the yard. So They had three people. They had a woman and a man and a young teenage girl. Well, one morning I asked this girl why she didn't put my paper on the porch.
Mm-hmm.
She said, well, my manager told me as long as we got it on the steps, that was okay. Okay, they stopped putting my paper in a plastic bag.
Mm-hmm.
She said, they said we didn't have to put it in a plastic bag unless it was raining. Well, that's not true, because a lady lived next street over. Her paper is in a bag every day.
Every day.
So I stopped taking the paper.
Okay.
And every time, they always sending me a letter for me to start taking the paper again.
Mm-hmm.
But I will never, never take the Star again. Not the way they treated me. I had to call every week and complain.
What's out of town? I'm curious. What's out of town you live
on? On the south side.
You're on the south side?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness gracious. our guests are learning things. There may be a Star story in all of this. Elizabeth, so you've been is it that, because I know that some of these carriers are you in a neighborhood with sidewalks?
Yes.
Okay, and sidewalks and curbs, right?
Yes.
Okay, so it's not like a subdivision where they're just driving up and putting it in the mailbox on the side of the street.
Mm-hmm.
And your mailbox is at your house, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so it's not. Doug Wilson, you're learning about circulation today, which affects marketing.
Well, Amos, let me tell you this.
Yeah.
I used to deliver the papers out in Speedway.
Okay.
And there were two of us. I would take one side of the street, and the other person would take the other side of the street. We never threw anybody's paper. Their paper was always on their porch or in their milk box. Or in between the security door
mm-hmm.
and the other door. We never threw anybody's paper. We didn't sit up in the car and pick the paper.
Sound like I think the star might want you to come out of retirement and help you out. Doug Wilson, your reaction.
Once again, we will follow up on all of these issues. I appreciate you guys letting us know. One of the things that we're committed to is providing the best service possible, as well as balancing that with the cost to deliver the paper. Because obviously, if we can't meet all needs at all times, I know we've changed our policy over time to really balance, strike that great good balance between the ultimate service of delivering it to your doorstep versus the cost that it would take to do that. So we will take this input, and I'll go back to the office, talk to my customer service people, the carriers, and we will adjust.
All right, I appreciate it. Let me go to Anonymous
okay.
at 23. Thank you, Elizabeth. Let me go to Anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, Amos, how you doing?
I'm fine.
For your guest.
Yeah.
So it's for your guest, are they fairly new to the Star? These are new people, right?
These are new people, yes, ma'am.
Okay, and then to them, the question I would have, how long do they think it takes to come into a new place, to a new situation, because I really, my hat goes off to them, just the fact that they can endure this show with the callers, but wanting to know, roughly how long do you think you guys it would take to try to get things back, you know, on one accord or to the satisfaction of the people?
Mm.
Is it a year? Is it 2 years? Is it 3 years?
And when you say to get back to the court of the people, what do you mean?
I'm listening to the some of the overlapping complaints of the clients. And, I mean, we got two or three that we keep hearing over and over again about the paper being thrown in the yard or them making the billing mistakes of not stopping people when they stopping the payment, things like that of that nature. Because I know they have to go through and learn each department. I just want to roughly, just follow me on this one, Amos, but I just want to roughly find out from them, do they think it will take a year, 2 years, 3 years?
That is a great question, guys.
Well, it is a great question, and I'll answer this from I'll try to answer this from the perspective of the newsroom and news coverage. We don't know. That would be a much longer timetable than I would expect for us to think about what a vision to be put in place for the newsroom to be positioned to move in that direction. I've been here just a little over 2 months, And I think it's important to spend a lot of time trying to get out into the community, trying to understand, you know, what Indianapolis is about, getting a feel for the people, for you know, what the city looks like, feels like, what the issues are, and so forth. But we've also been moving forward with some reorganization and structural changes within the newsroom, and setting priorities for what I believe are the most important things for us to be doing, where our priorities have to be for news coverage. And we also have been in high speed here as we've been dealing with the move into this new into our new model, our new business model, and that involves also adding resources, adding news gathering resources to the newsroom, reporters and local news, revamping and beefing up our features and entertainment areas. We have rolled out some changes on our website and in print that are aimed at, you know, improving the quality and the content we have on things to do, on restaurants, on that sort of thing. We've seen some very measurable impact from that. Higher audience traffic on our website, so that would indicate that the people are responding to that kind of coverage. And I've talked to an awful lot of readers. I really do appreciate getting a chance to hear from people directly on a show like this one, a show that's focused on issues and that are important to the community. And, you know, we hear the feedback that people of what people are looking for and the recognition they have that they've seen a different dynamic on the front page, the presence of local news, investigative news, following your tax dollars and trying to make sure that we tell you how are people using your money today. Those are the kinds of things that we're going to be doing and pushing very aggressively at the paper.
239-1310, 239-1310 is Afternoon's Names. We'll take a break. They're here. When we come back, we'll talk about it. I would hate to think, because I was looking at the homepage of the Indianapolis Star, and suddenly, 20 minutes ago, they put up some historic photos of Crispus Attucks High School, because on this day in 1927, Crispus Attucks High School opened for the first time. Now, I would hate to think that somebody in the digital at the Star figured, wait a minute, the boss is with Amos, and that's black folks, and let's put the pictures of Attucks up. And out. No, that wouldn't. But when we come back, we'll take more of your calls at 239-1310. We will also ask about diversity at the Indianapolis Star, because I found this list of employees in there. Oh, they got new great department names now. Free Time and Arts, Digital Team, Breaking News, Local News, Photo and Video. And we'll find out, you know, what is the diversity at the Star? Now, I have a number, and we'll see how close my number is to the reality. It's Afternoons with Amos after these.